from the earth that sailed in storm and rain, to Karbala's land of grief and pain. One held life through water's wave, one showed truth and died so brave. From the ark to Karbala.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
of Madreen Channel, welcome back to this program of Madreen Channel, Ark to Karbala. And Alhamdulillah, in this episode, we are discussing regarding another event which is related to the 10th of Muharram. And this entire series is revolving around the events which have taken place in Muharram and specifically around the day of Ashura. So we have covered regarding the basics of the day of Muharramul Haram, the excellence of the month of Muharram, and the excellence of the day of Ashura, which is the 10th of Muharramul Haram. And we discussed regarding how virtuous it is to fast on the 10th of Muharram. We discussed regarding Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire, Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam and his ark. We spoke about Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam as well, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam as well, and their events regarding the 10th of Muharramul Haram. Today as well, we have a very wonderful event which took place and which is related to the 10th of Muharram as well. And that is related to another great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Yunus ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And to discuss over this topic, this subject, and to educate ourselves and to educate the viewers as well, we have our Malana Shams Madani, who is a Naat Khan as well, and we have Malana Ismail Banali as well. MashaAllah, marhaban bikum. Alhamdulillah. So, as usual, we will listen to the virtues of sending salawat upon the best of creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "He who sends salawat upon me 50 times daily, I shall shake hands with him on the day of judgment." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, to increase that love, that joy and excitement, that, you know, spark of love in our heart, which is the ultimate love, the love of Allah and His Rasul. So today's topic is regarding Sayyiduna Yunus alayhi salam and his famous incident of being swallowed by the whale, by the fish. It's al-hut, great fish. Now, what could possibly be that great fish? And for us to have an idea of how big that fish might have been. So, inshallah, we will discuss all that. But this event is also related to the 10th of Muharramul Haram. Let's say that Yunus alayhi salam attained salvation from the stomach of the fish. He was released back to the ground. And this is something really amazing. It is actually mesmerizing. So before we dive into the topic, I would like Maulana Ismail Banali, if you can take the lead and give us an overview of the entire scenario about Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Before I hand it over to you, just for our viewers to know, a brief introduction of Sayyidina Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam was one of the noble prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned by name in the Quran. And he was sent to the people of Nineveh, a very powerful city near the present day Mosul, Iraq. So if you see it according to geography, it was around Mosul, which is in Iraq, if you compare it according to today's day. So, unlike other prophets who were accepted after great struggle, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam initially faced intense rejection. So, now over to you, Mawlana Ismail Banali sahab.
Historically, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam was son of Matta, as mentioned in the books of history regarding the biography of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, he was sent to the tribe of Bani Israel as well. Mm-hmm. And this tribe, they were idols. Mm. And Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam called them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Tawheed. But the people denied him.
Allah.
They mocked him. As other prophets, they faced the same thing, denial and mockery. Likewise, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, also the people of Nainawa, as he was sent to the people of Nainawa, they mocked him and also they denied him. They continued worshipping their idols. Then Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he warned them about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
Then he told them that recently the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming. So Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was tired of them. Decided to leave. Just left.
Allahu Akbar. But you warned them.
We warned them.
They be careful.
Yes. But the punishment is what? So at night they were looking where Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. So they realized that if Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam is not around, it means he was saying the truth. Meaning something is coming.
And they knew when they consulted the elders of the city, they knew. Although they didn't believe in Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, but they knew that he has never told a lie. Subhanallah. And we see this in the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Although in the beginning, even though people did not believe in him, but they called him Sadiq and Ameen. Like the character is such that they are not believing in the faith yet. They are not believing in the message yet. But they know that he is trustworthy and he can never say a lie.
Subhanallah.
Allah, when our character becomes such, you know, when a person brings up our name, this person, he can't lie. And this is the, you know, if we look at the history of places like Indonesia, Malaysia, these areas, basically in the Far East, and those countries and those cities, those areas where Islam is in good numbers. So it wasn't that, you know, people traveled there in the olden days for the sake of da'wah. It was actually the businessmen, the traders who had gone there for business, for making money. But the dealing, the transactions, and the truthfulness was such that people, you know, came towards Islam.
Subhanallah.
It's like it had become very clear that a Muslim won't lie. Muslim can't lie. Unfortunately, today the situations are not as such. Unfortunately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back to our roots.
Amen.
May we stay stern on truth. Amen. And stand. Amen. For haqq, inshallah.
Amen.
So, yes, sorry for cutting you. You were mentioning that Sayyidina Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam warned the people and then he had left.
So, the people after realizing that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, they were saying the truth as they considered him a truth because he never lied before to them. So, after seeing some signs of punishment, seeing skies start changing,
Allah.
Black cows are coming. Then they realize that this is the punishment Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was talking about.
And these are just the signs for now.
These are the signs.
Allah.
Then what happened? They gathered the men, women, and even they gathered their animals.
Oh.
Let's leave so that we can go far from the city. They went to the forest, like a bush.
Right.
Because after the people, they realized that now this is the torment Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was talking about. After seeing the signs, then they went to the pious man. And the pious man told them the dua.
Obviously, Yunus alayhi salam is not there. Mm-hmm. And now they're desperately in need of help. So they go to an alim hadith. They go to a scholar, they go to a pious person, a pious believer. But the dua which is mentioned, and this is mentioned in the Quranic wonders, subhanAllah, the dua was wonderful. Ya hayyu hina la hayya, wa ya hayyu yuhyi al-mawta, wa ya hayyu la ilaha illa anta.
Subhanallah.
Allah. Oh, the ever-living. Ya Allah, you are the ever-living. You are hay. When there is nobody living, when there is no other living, wa ya hayyu yuhyi al-mawta, you are such a living, who makes the dead living.
Subhanallah.
You bring life to the dead.
Allah.
Wa ya hayyu and ya hayy. Oh you, oh ever living. La ilaha illa anta. There is nobody to worship but you.
Subhanallah.
The words are so powerful. So wonderful. You know, when we study, we did a subject of balaghat. I remember when we were doing in Durusul Balagha, there is one thing which comes as Jawami'ul Kalim, Al-Jawami'ul Kalim. And Al-Jawami'ul Kalim refers to words having less words, but full meaning, no, impactful meaning. And this was one of the characteristic of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Jawami'ul Kalim. He was perfect in his speech, and his speech was not longer than what was needed, that it feels boring, and it was not shorter than required, so it may feel incomplete. It was the perfect. And subhanallah, these words are so jami', so full, so complete, so powerful, so impactful. It's amazing. It is amazing. Ya hayyu hina la hayya. Allahu Akbar. Wa ya hayyu yuhil mawta. Wa ya hayyu la ilaha illa anta.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. And the people supplicated after reciting this dua, and the torment was withdrawn. However, in the same scenario, in the same context, there is a different reporting also from a famous muhaddith and a miraculous saint, Sayyiduna Fudail bin Ayyad, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that the invocation by virtues of which the torment of the city of Nainama was shunned away was, Allahumma inna dhunubana qad azumat.
Allahu Akbar.
Ya Allah, indeed our sins have become very great. Wa jallat wa anta a'zam. وَأَجَلُّ فَفْعَلْ بِنَا مَا أَنْتَ أَهْلُ. Ya Allah, our sins have become great. They've crossed the boundaries. Our transgressions have increased. But you are great, universal creator. You are the master, you are the Lord. فَفْعَلْ بِنَا مَا أَنْتَ أَهْلُ. So do with us what you're capable of. Referring to what's His mercy. And then, وَلَا تَفْعَلْ بِنَا مَا نَحْنُ أَهْلُ. But don't do such with us what we are not capable of.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
These words are so complete. They hold such mastery in eloquence, in their method, in their delivery, and in the impact. That Ya Allah Ta'ala, don't do with us which we are not capable of, but do with us what you are capable of. That means we are very little, we are very humble, we are not capable of anything, Ya Allah. But yeah, we are capable of attaining your mercy, Ya Allah. And you are capable of bestowing upon us ultimate mercy, Ya Allah. So this was the dua which was made, and after the withdrawal of torment, basically this dua became one of the reasons of the torment being withdrawn. But Yunus alayhi salam is not yet present. Now what happens?
Maybe before he go further, since he said this time, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he left Nainawa, he went somewhere else. So maybe question might come to the viewers that why Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he had to leave his area or Nainawa?
The thing is that Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was preaching to them for a very prolonged time. And these people were disobedient. They were idol worshippers. They're not accepting. Finally, as a last destination, Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for adab. And now when the adab is coming, so how, like say the Nuh alayhi salam story we discussed, how Nuh alayhi salam was already warned to leave the area. So Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam now knows that atonement is coming, adab is coming. And he has done all his work of preaching. He has told them, but they didn't listen. And nobody can say that we weren't informed. We weren't told. And neither did the people actually do that. People didn't complain that we were not told. They actually said that, yes, we were told, but we didn't believe. So because the adab was coming, the warning, Yunus alayhi salam had it prior. So he left the area because adab is going to come. And when the signs of adab, the signs of punishment started coming, that's when the people actually opened their eyes. And if Yunus alayhi salam is not around and he has said adab is coming, we know that he is not a liar. Although they didn't believe in him. And as a result, they went to the scholar of their area that tell us now, what should we do?
Subhanallah.
And as a result, they believed. they became Allahu believers. Akbar.
So he is just showing us that the dua of Nabi is mustajab.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, that a Nabi prayed for another and the other.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. So, and then we also learn many other things which we will come towards the conclusions at the end, because here one, two things are coming in my mind which I, you know, am seeing from this story, especially when the people go to this Ali Medin and they make dua, that, you know, it's just wonderful and very much relevant to our situations as well. That sometimes when we are in trouble, we are in anxiety, we are in depression, a proper Ali Medin, a person who has the knowledge of Quran and Hadith, can guide you, can tell you something which can change your life. Like how an alim told here something which changed the destiny of an entire nation. Continuing on the entire narration. Now what happens? Because Yunus alayhi salam is away. Now what happens?
As in Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he left. Mm-hmm. Then he said, come back. Then he met some people. Then
he came back to see the city?
Yes, he came back.
Then what happened?
He just left.
Okay.
And they, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, after seeing that the punishment he was talking about was withdrawn.
Hmm.
Punishment was withdrew. So he said, if the punishment is withdrew, now the people are going to say I'm a liar.
Uh-huh. That there are no signs of punishment. Mm-hmm. So now how can I return to my people?
So he decided now to embark on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
So embark on a boat. Then in those days, if the boat stuck at the middle of the ocean.
Uh-huh.
They had that belief in those days that there is a fugitive slave inside it.
Ah, fugitive slave.
Fugitive slave. So uh-huh. Running from his master.
Right.
So, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was among those people who were in the boat. So they said, no, let's do a lot. We must draw. Then they started doing the draw. Doing the lot. Then for three times, the name of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam come. The first draw, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. The first draw, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And the third one, then they decide to throw him
Allahu Akbar
inside the ocean.
But just a probable scenario that, that way was Yunus alayhi salam traveling from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Because obviously if he has gone in a boat,
yeah.
So where did the boat take off from? Mm-hmm. Where was the boat going to? So just some researchers, again, this may not be accurate, but just for us to have a modern day idea that Yunus alayhi salam was preaching in Nineveh, and it's, you can say, a modern day Iraq.
Yeah.
And it was a landlocked region, like how Malawi is landlocked. Malawi is, by landlocked, we mean that no portion of our boundaries is touching the sea. Okay, but as we go south, like say South Africa or Mozambique, these are not landlocked countries because they have the coastlines with it. So Malawi is like a landlocked country. So that part of Nineveh, that city was kind of landlocked. So Yunus ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam most likely travel to a certain region or a certain area. So after leaving the people, Yunus alayhi salam, he traveled westwards. Now, if you see, it actually even makes sense that according to geography, Iraq is eastwards. If you consider the middle of the earth, westwards is he's going towards the coastlines, towards the Mediterranean Sea. And the probable ports which would have been the places from where Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam might have gone was the modern day Palestine, perhaps, or it could be the modern, because westwards, if you talk about, are these coastlines, Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, these areas. So most probably that's where he embarked on the journey from. So the ship was most likely heading towards Eastern Mediterranean Sea. Okay, because you embark from there and then you're heading eastwards in that canal towards the Mediterranean Sea. Possibly towards, you can say, according to certain sources, he was traveling west. Maybe towards the western portion of the world. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the best. Because again, Why this discussion comes to mind is because way you are indicating is when he was thrown into the depths of the sea. Then he was swallowed by a whale. Such fish, al-hut, the whale, it could be a blue whale or it could be a sperm whale. Okay, these are two giants of the sea, you can say. But these types of fish are found in the depths of the sea, where the sea actually is very deep and rich. They are not found towards the coast. Very, very rare that they would actually come towards the coast. They are the wanderers and the players of the depths of the seas. It's an entire world living there, the entire marine life, we can call it. So there is an entire ecosystem there, an entire food cycle there. There are under sea plantations as well. There are plants there which survive there in that salty water. Allah Ta'ala is granting them rizq there.
Subhanallah.
There is more water on the planet Earth than land. And there are more fish than human beings, way more fish than even ground animals. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness is unimaginable. And we cannot even comprehend it. So anyways, this was, you can say, a very rough idea to understand the journey of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. So again, coming back to where you left off.
Yes, so they threw Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam inside the ocean.
Right.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through divine command, commanded the fish to swallow Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. And the whale swallowed Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam.
Allahu Akbar.
So Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam remained in the belly of the fish.
Allah, Allah.
The darkness of the ocean and also the darkness of the fish.
Allah, Allah.
And also the darkness of the night.
Allahu Akbar.
Three darkness inside the fish.
Allahu Akbar.
So, look what happened. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, this tragedy, this calamity, can play a calamity in this time, in this circumstances, what did he do? So let's learn from what Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam did. The time was in difficulties and hardship. He remembered Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala. Allah, Allah, subhanallah.
Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam said, La ilaha illa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin.
Allah Akbar, subhanallah. Subhanallah, what is the La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This is in Surah Anbiya. And the translation is, there is none worthy of worship but you. Exalted are you. Indeed, I have been of the wrongdoers. Allahu Akbar. A prophet of Allah saying like this. And this Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith that anyone who supplicates with this dua at the time of trouble, at the time of distress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his matters easy for him.
Subhanallah.
And this is famously known as the dua Yunus as well. Yeah. Dua of Sayyidina Yunus ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Coming to the fish. The fish was huge. And the Islamic traditions, the history, the Quran also indicates towards being a big fish. It was a very big fish. Now this big fish could be, if you look at the possibilities, what could have been possible. Again, we are not, you know, pinpointing the accurate one, that, oh, this was the fish. It could be a blue whale, because we need to see the fish which is in line with what the description of the Quran mentions, the tafsirs mention. So it could possibly be a blue whale, because a blue whale is up to 30 meters. One wall, you know, when we are in a normal house, the wall of a house is approximately anywhere between 4 to 6 meters. So that means one floor is at least 4 to 6 meters. So now here you're looking at how many? At least 6 floors.
Yeah.
That's how, even if you search today on YouTube and you see a blue whale, it's
big.
It's enormous. It's huge. It's massive. And the mouth, when it opens its mouth is so big that a human being gets stand inside. Just the mouth, we're not talking about the belly. And the weight is over 150 tons.
Allahu Akbar.
150 tons.
Allahu Akbar.
Just imagine that. That's 150,000 kgs. Subhanallah. Okay, the other scenario of another fish is a sperm whale. And the length of this fish is approximately 16 to 20 meters. That's 30 meters. This is about half of that, 15 to 20. And the stomach is divided into two chambers in the sperm whale. Look, just look at this, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like wherever you see, you have the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَبِيَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانُ. Which of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you then deny? Yeah. And the stomach is divided into two chambers, could hold large sea creatures in its stomach. And it is known for very deep diving. It is known for very deep diving. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it as darkness of the sea, darkness of the belly of the fish, and darkness of the night.
So three darknesses.
Three darknesses. Now, if you go in the sea, you have light. If you go in the sea, there is light. Say for example, you're in a swimming pool and you jump. You can feel, if it's daytime, you can see the light. Subhanallah, we have a beautiful lake in Malawi. Lake Malawi, it is the world's seventh largest lake and world's number one lake in terms of holding the most number of fish species, most varieties. So, such a beautiful lake. Imagine diving into Lake Malawi. So, if you are, you know, to a 1 meter, 2 meter depth and it's sunlight, so you're able to get that light. But when the interpretations are mentioning that it was darkness of the sea, the darkness of the sea, what comes to mind is that it will be very deep.
Yeah.
Very deep. And at night, it's darkness of the night as well. And inside the belly of the fish, how? It just mesmerizes the mind. And all you can say is Allahu Akbar, Allah, you are the greatest. Allahu Akbar. So the sperm whale is, even the blue whale, they're known for, they're deep divers. So it's very possible it could have been a blue whale, it could have been a sperm whale, or maybe it could have been another whale, another fish. Because Allah Ta'ala has said, a fish, it was a fish. So this is something regarding the, you can say, just for our understanding. So now, depth of the sea, darkness of the night, darkness of the stomach. Now there are many things, if you see according to a scientific way, so the stomach has so many acids, the stomach has so many things to cut down the enzymes, to cut down the food particles. So how was Yunus alayhi salam safe in that? Then without oxygen, how can a human being live? That too in a stomach of a creature, that too in the water. How does it all make sense? So the thing is, that Allah who created everything from nothing.
Subhanallah.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who erected the mountains. That Allah who created the seas. That Allah who created the human beings. That Allah who created the fish. This is not a big deal for him. If he wants for something to be done, kun fayakun.
Subhanallah.
Be and it is. So here we are not talking about you and I. Here we are not talking about any, you know, stranger from the street. We are talking about Allah. So when we talk about logic and science and how this is possible, is oxygen there or not there? This musk is there or there? From a droplet, a human being is formed. How?
Allah.
How? From nothing to everything. How? So here, when we talk about science and this and that, is what is relevant to, you know, general people and general things. Here we are talking about the creator of each and everything. So anyways, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam was thrown into the water and the fish swallowed Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. Thereafter,
then as we said that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, he called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the dua I just recited recently, La ilaha illa Allah subhanahu inni kuntu min al-zalimin.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
Subhanallah. Allah. Virtue of this dua. Allah Ta'ala blessed him freedom.
Allahu Akbar.
So look at that hardship and look at our hardships. Our hardships are nothing. So inshallah, when we recite, just that hope and trust should be complete. Inshallah, we will also see the results of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him freedom from the dark cell, and the fish ejected him out of her mouth at the bank of the sea. He alayhi salam had gone very weak at that time. Now another point here as well. The fish, we understood that it dwells in the depths. But the command of Allah was such that first to give protection to Yunus alayhi salam in the belly. Then for the fish to come on the bank towards the coast to deliver him out. Subhanallah. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned everything. Because it is very unusual for such a big giant of the sea to come by the coast. It's very, in fact, if we see the coastlines around the world as well. So the sharks, the whales and all this, they have a, they usually say, Allahu alam, that there is a distance of a safe area of few meters that you can go, it's fine. You won't find big players here. The big players are far inside. But this big player is coming outside towards the coastline to deliver Yunus alayhi salam.
Subhanallah.
How? By the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was weak. So now what happened is, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plant of gourd grew there, and he alayhi salam used to take rest under its shade.
Allah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for him a place where he can now take a shade. Afterwards, when he regained some energy, the food is ready, the shade is ready, he gained some energy, he alayhi salam went back to his people, and all the people treated him with utmost respect and adab.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And this was his, you know, you can say beautiful reunion with his nation.
Subhanallah.
When he left them, they were idol worshippers. When they come back, they are believers in Allah. Subhanallah.
So, yeah. I heard there that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he became weak. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided everything for him. So was there anyone who was bringing food? Or
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order was such that that plant grew
itself. Same time.
And that plant which grew was a gourd plant. Gourd, G-O-U-R-D, gourd. And that gourd provided food for Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, and the plant provided some sort of shelter for Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam.
And the whole story took place on the day of Ashura.
Yes.
Allah.
That he was rescued. By old story, we don't mean the adab and all that. Because that's a prolonged duration. We're talking about deliverance from the
belly of the fish.
This is related to the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, which is coming in a few days.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. It is a very important day, Malana. It's a very important day. And I think, you know, perhaps because of lack of knowledge or not understanding or not reading the Quran and the Islamic traditions enough, you know, the masses are unaware of this. They are very heedless of this, that this is such an important day. Many events which have taken place. However, this entire narration of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam is mentioned in Surah As-Saffat from verse number 139 to 148. Now, coming towards the conclusions of it, the morals and the lessons which we get from this entire narration and this entire Quranic event is that don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything. So like how the people of Nineveh, they were disobedient to Allah and His Messenger. So ultimately what happened was the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then another thing is that the only thing which can stop the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sincere repentance and supplication. But another thing, who told them to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was an alim, was a scholar, was a pious person. So when you are distressed, when you are worried, when you are in trouble, when you don't know the way out, turn towards the Almighty, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's people, turn towards the scholars. They will give you the right direction. They will teach you. In fact, a hadith actually states that people will be in need of ulama even in Jannah.
Subhanallah.
Is because when they will enter Jannah, they will go to the ulama to ask them how to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama will guide them there as well, that this is how you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's not belittle them. Let's not ignore them. Let's give them, Islamic scholars, should attain that respect and should attain that value. And Islamic scholars also, the ulama also, those especially who are students, who are becoming alims, they should also learn that we need to be such people who are as upright people. Who are as upright people, people of standard, people of good talking, people of, you know, good address, good advisors, good words. And our character itself is good. And the people also should give that respect to the ulama. It's a relationship. You know, you get your counseling from the ulama. And then there are many other such things that from this incident we learn. And if I can wrap it up, is that Allah who can help Yunus alayhi salam in the belly of the fish, that Allah can help us in our problems.
SubhanAllah.
Anything you'd like to add?
And this one, it reminds me that the sayings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Ad-du'a'u sulahul mu'min.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Dua is the weapon of a believer. Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Dua is the essence of worship. Dua can change things. Dua can turn things away. It's like, why should we ask the people when we can ask the Creator?
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
Allahu Akbar.
And also, if you go to the ayah, if he was not among those people who glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could remain in the belly of the fish till the day of judgment.
Allahu Akbar.
So which means, if we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our easy time, in our luxury time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remember us in our difficult times.
Allah, Allah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembered, he answered the call of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam in the belly of the fish.
Remember Allah, Allah will remember you.
Subhanallah.
Allah has said, Fadkuruni adhkurkum. You remember me, I shall remember you. Where will we remember Allah? We will remember Allah in the gathering of people. We will remember Allah in this limited world. We will remember Allah with our limited bodies, our limited tongue, our limited abilities. But Allah says, I will remember you. It's just two different things.
Allahu
Akbar. And thank me and don't be ungrateful. You know, on small, little things, I don't have this, I don't have. Little bit, prices have gone up for something, we are.
Why only me?
Why only me? Why only me? That's our only problem. We have forgotten about that. Okay, yes, there are problems, we don't deny. But we forget about those good things which have happened with us
yes,
also.
Yes.
We will remember what bad has happened. We will forget what good has happened. So, remember me, I shall remember you. Thank me and do not be ungrateful towards me. Yes, Azhar, you're saying something.
I'm saying that even if you want peace, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
mentioned SubhanAllah. That indeed the satisfaction of the hearts lies in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make us amongst those who thank Him, who remember Him, who are grateful, and those who are away from ungratefulness. May Allah ta'ala keep us firm upon the teachings of the Quran, upon the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May this story and narration of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam work as a motivation, as a guidance for us.
Ameen.
Throughout our lives.
Ameen.
Inshallah azza wa jal. So dear viewers, this is a narration and a Quranic incident relevant to the 10th of Muharram al-Haram. Like the other narrations we have heard about Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's dua. In coming episodes, there are more narrations as well. So these are all related to the 10th of Muharram al-Haram. And before Maulana Shams can cut me off today, yes, I will.
That is obvious, I was coming there. So if you have given me this opportunity, let me, for the sake of viewers, inshallah, let us come up with a summarize, inshallah. So who was swallowed by the well?
Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam.
Why did he leave his nation?
Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam left his nation because for a prolonged time, he invited them towards the oneness of Allah. They disobeyed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that an adab is going to come, and Yunus alayhi salam left the locality.
MashaAllah. What dua did he read?
Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam did dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin.
And if you don't mind, Ustaz Saab, What day did Allah save the Sayyidina Yunus alayhi
10th of Muharram al-Haram.
Subhanallah, day. Subhanallah.
So in a nutshell, within 30-40 seconds, you have the whole summary of it as well, that how Yunus ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam went into the belly of the fish, and then he was rescued from there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, and then he went back to his nation, and his nation ultimately had repented and come to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll see you in the next episode. Till then, give us permission and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
From the earth that sailed in storm and rain, from to Karbala's land of grief and pain, one held life through water's wave, one showed truth and died so brave. From the ark to Karbala.